So if you have your Bible, hold it up. Let's say it together. This is my Bible. I am what it says that I am. I can do what it says that I can do. I can have what it says that I can have. Today, I will be taught the uncompromised Word of God. My mind is alert. My heart is receptive. I'll not leave the same. As I came, in Jesus' name. And every time I come to Church on the Rock, my faith gets stronger and stronger. Give the Lord a shout of victory, would you? Praise the Lord. I'm excited about the teaching today. Would you open your Bible to Luke chapter 2? Pastor Kim stole my text today, but I'll forgive her. Amen. Luke chapter 2, verse 10, the New Living Translation. Today, I want to talk to you about joy. We talked about hope last week. Joy. I want to talk to you about the joy of the Lord. I'm not talking about a joy that comes from Disneyland. I'm talking about a supernatural joy that comes from the Lord. Joy is a decision. It's not a feeling. God knows exactly what you are going through today. God knows your struggles, your emotions, your feelings. God knows today, for some of you, you're going through a season of sorrow, grief. You're going through a season maybe of discouragement, disappointment. But I've got the antidote for you today. It's called the joy of the Lord. And this joy doesn't leave you with a hangover in the morning. Aren't you glad? So we're going to talk about that joy today. We're going to define it, and then we're going to say what it does, and then we're going to find out how to tap into the joy of the Lord. It's the joy of the Lord gives us strength to overcome. Let's find out about it today. Luke chapter 2, look at verse 10. The angels reassured them and said, "Don't be afraid." Do you know that if you and I are in fear today, we can't receive good news? If you and I are in fear today, we cannot receive a new idea from God. Boy, this is huge. You and I today, that's why the devil wants to put the spirit of fear and panic on us to paralyze us. But the good news is God didn't give us a spirit of fear, but of love and a power and a sound mind. If you're here today, you're watching online all over the world, and if you're in fear today, you can't receive what I have to say. If you're worrying and you're in fear about tomorrow, your children, your retirement, your job, your career, your health, then you can't receive good news. But the good news is you and I got rid of all of our fear during praise and worship. I'm going to say that the mic must not be on. Guys, could you turn me on? During praise and worship, we got rid of all of our fear and all of our worry. That's what praise and worship is for, is to cleanse us of anything that would hinder you and I getting a new God idea. And so notice, we see it right here. The angels came and they said, "Don't be afraid. Fear not. Why? Because I bring you what? Good news." Did you know the Bible is called the gospel, and gospel means good news? I'm so glad every time we come to Church on the Rock, you hear from me good news. You and I don't want to listen to the news, but we do want to focus on the good news. I got a golden nugget for you. All great leaders know how to focus. All great leaders know the power of focus in their life. They understand that if you and I are distracted, we'll waver. If we're all distracted, we'll lose our hope, we'll lose our joy. All great leaders have learned the power of focus. And once they focus in on something, you can't break that focus or get them to waver from it. So notice that he says, the angels say, you know, get rid of your fear so you can receive the Bible, scriptures, teaching, revelation, good news, a God idea. Isn't that good? And he says here that I bring you good news that will bring great joy. I bring you good news that will bring not just joy, but joy the world can't give you and the world tries to take away from you. The joy of the Lord. Say it with me. Good news brings great joy. So right there, I've just given you a clue. If you'll start reading your Bible a chapter a day, you'll have more joy. Because joy comes from the good news, or joy, great joy, supernatural joy. The fruit of the Spirit comes from reading the good news, the gospel, the Bible, scriptures. A chapter a day will get discouragement to leave and joy to stay. Powerful, isn't it? So the angel said, first of all, what's the progression? Get rid of all your fear. Because if you and I are worrying and panic and fear, you can't receive anything from teaching of God's word. So get rid of that. Now we're positioned. And then he says, I want you to put your faith out here because good news brings great joy. I like that. And the good news is the gospel, which is the Bible, scriptures. And so when you and I then intentionally, on purpose, read the Bible expecting God to talk to us, the result will be joy. Joy that will bring you strength to overcome every difficulty in your life. Joy that will make you an overcomer. It will make you a victor and not a victim. Isn't that good news? So the good news will bring great joy. That's huge that we understand that great joy comes from the Word of God. Now, I've got some take home for you. You ready for this? Because if you go to church and you don't learn anything, what's the use of going to church? And if you go to church and don't know how to learn, aren't you glad that already we've learned how to learn? Get rid of fear. Because you can't learn until you get rid of fear. Because God doesn't talk through fear, He talks through faith. Hallelujah. So here's a good confession. Start it tomorrow morning. And when people start asking you how you're doing during the holidays, here's a takeaway. Say it like this. Say, I have strong faith and I'm full of joy. I have strong faith and full of joy. Let's practice. Say, strong faith, full of joy. But Pastor, I don't feel that way. Well, that doesn't make any difference. Because joy is a choice. It's not a feeling. You know, can I give you a picture right up front? Your faith is like a stick of dynamite. Your faith, my faith, is like a stick of dynamite. But your joy is the fuse that lights the dynamite. Now, follow my progression, follow my thinking here, is that if our faith, picture our faith being like a stick of dynamite, but your joy is the fuse. So what does that mean? That if you don't have joy, your faith won't get on fire. If you don't have joy, your faith won't be dynamic, dunamis, miracle working. Here's what I've noticed in my 63 years on the planet, is people who have the joy of the Lord, they take risk. People who have the joy of the Lord, their faith is confident and it's bold and it's daring. Their faith is willing to take a risk and step and get out of the boat. People who have the joy of the Lord are excited about their future, using their faith, taking bigger steps, believing God for bigger things, expanding their borders and reaching new frontiers, new horizons. People with the joy of the Lord. People who are depressed and discouraged and living with sorrow and living with misery and living with grief, they stay under the cover in bed with the blinds pulled down. Never taking a risk, never dreaming for bigger, never stepping out, never getting out of the boat. That's why the devil tries to steal your joy, because if he does, he knows your faith will fizzle and you'll settle for less and you'll be comfortable in life. And folks, that's not God's will for you. God's will for you is an abundant life, a large life, a big life, a life that you're daring and you're dreaming and you're risking every day of your life. Because you've got the joy of the Lord, which is the what? Oh, you missed it now. The joy of the Lord is your fuse, and faith is the dynamite. Get the picture now. You forgot it already. Lord, I'm depressed. All right, so say it with me. Faith is a stick of dynamite, and my joy, and my joy, and my joy, and my joy is the fuse. Got to have joy for your faith to explode and do signs and wonders. Can we have a praise break? Come on, let's give the Lord a big praise. Notice he said, don't be afraid, so you can't be in fear and panic and worry and receive anything sitting at church on the rock. Then he says that the gospel, it's the Bible, it's the word of God, is going to bring you great joy. I like what Kim said, it's to all people. Aren't you glad at Church on the Rock we have all people? Black people, white people, brown people, yeah, red people, young people. Did you see it on the platform today? Young people, old people, middle-aged people, tall people, short people, skinny people. We'll stop there. All kinds of people. The gospel is for everyone. No matter what we've done, no matter who we are, no matter where we've been, His grace is enough. Our mistakes, our mishaps, wrong choices, wrong decisions, wrong ideas, wrong ventures, His grace is enough. Christmas is for everybody. Now, this joy, it's so great. We find out we get it from the gospel. So take home, read a chapter a day of the Bible. You'll have greater joy. And when you read it, think about what you're reading. Say it out loud and write down what God tells you to do. Boy, that was worth sliding to church today right there. That's huge. That's huge. And so then what do we do here? Look at Philippians chapter 4. What's to be our posture? What should be our mindset as believers who are confessing, I've got strong faith and I'm full of joy. I got strong faith and I'm full of joy. What are you going to say tomorrow morning? I've got strong faith. That'll work. Praise the Lord. Philippians 4 verse 4. Always. You know, I have a Kenneth Weiss Greek New Testament of Greek New Testament words, and I looked it up this morning, and always means always. Always. God wouldn't tell us to do it always if we couldn't. Do it always. Pastor, that sounds weird to do that. I think you're weird if you don't do it. Come on now. Because you and I are not of the world. We're not to be like the world, act like the world, respond like the world. We're to respond like King's kids. So what does he say? Always be full of joy. So when people ask you throughout the holidays, how you doing? How's it going? How you doing? I'm strong in faith and I'm full of joy. It's Bible. Always be full of joy in the Lord. I say again, because you're going to forget, rejoice. Now you know who's writing this? The Apostle Paul. You know where he's at? In the Bahamas. No, he's in prison. The Apostle Paul is in prison, but you know what? He's in prison, but prison isn't in him. In your circumstance today, don't let your circumstance get in you. Don't be a prisoner of your circumstances. Be a prisoner of the Lord. And let the joy of the Lord transform your circumstances. Okay? So he says, always be full of, let's go back there, please, guys. Always be full of joy, not in your circumstances, because sometimes our circumstances, you know, they're not very joyful, right? Sometimes in the natural, they're opposite of what we're believing for. But you and I make a choice to rejoice. It's a decision, it's not a feeling. Is it easy? No. Is it right? Yes. We're to always be full of the joy of the Lord. I say again, rejoice. Look at another translation of this verse, please, the Message translation. Look what it says. Celebrate. 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 Look what it says. Celebrate God half the day, part of the day, on Sunday. You know, really the proof in the pudding is tomorrow morning. Isn't it? It really is. It says celebrate God all day long. Really, God? Sounds kind of weird, doesn't it? Well, God says you're weird if you don't. It says celebrate God all day, every day. I mean, have a party in Him. Folks, these are commandments. These are not options. These are not suggestions. If you and I want a powerful life, a life of impact and legacy and make a difference, then here's our instructions right here. It's a supernatural joy. It's not the joy you get from Disneyland. It's the joy you get from the Lord. It's a fruit of the Spirit. It's a supernatural force. It's where you get your strength from, the joy of the Lord. Another translation from this verse, the Phillips, delight yourself in the Lord. Circle that word, mark that word, delight. I love this. Pastor, is it really worth our time, even when we don't feel like it, to rejoice in the Lord? Bible says it is. Pastor, will it really make a difference? The Bible says it does. That what you and I rejoice in the Lord always, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, again, all day Sunday. When you and I celebrate, when we focus, great leaders know the power of focus. We don't focus on our problem, we focus on the answer, God. We don't focus on our circumstances because they'll deplete your joy. We don't focus on our problems or what we don't have. It will rob you and steal from you your joy. We focus on God. And notice it says in this version, one says celebrate, one says rejoice in the Lord always. This one says delight yourself in the Lord and your joy in him. You see, our joy shouldn't come from our job. What happens if you lose your job? Our joy shouldn't come from our car. What happens if the bank takes it back? Our joy shouldn't come from our husband or wife. What happens if they walk out? Our joy shouldn't come from our accomplishments, because what happens when someone does more than you and I? Are you getting the message? Our joy should come from him. Our joy should come from him, not our circumstances, not our acclimate, not our position, not our possessions, not the people around us, but our joy should come and originate, and the source should be him. And notice it says, delight yourself in the Lord. Now, I'm a Bible teacher, so when I read scripture, I always think of other scriptures. And I'm thinking of the scripture in Psalm where it says, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give. What? He will give you the desires, dreams in your heart. Wow. So as long as you and I stay in position for God to keep working everything together for our good, accomplishing our God-given dream, then I would say it's worth it to rejoice in the Lord, even when you don't feel like rejoicing in the Lord. The joy of the Lord, or it's supernatural. It's a fruit of the Spirit. It's a decision. It's a choice. It's not a feeling. And here we're seeing that we're commanded to do it every day, all day long. Whenever we stop and think about it, we're to respond not in being cynical or critical or angry or mad or sorrowful or in grief. I remember, many of you know the story, when my older brother, Rick, he passed away in the early 70s. He was in Morocco in naval intelligence. He came home, couldn't tell us anything he did in the service. He was home just for a few months, and he hit his head in his basement, activated a brain tumor, and he died a week later. But I remember that as a family, we stayed in the hospital 7/24. We brought our cots and our sleeping bags, our entire family, some of our friends. We stayed there day and night in the waiting room. And finally, the doctor said, you all just need to go home. And so my dad said, let's go home. So that night we went home. But I remember the very next morning, we had a phone. We didn't have cell phones back then. Weren't created yet, right? Had the phone on the side of the wall in the kitchen, you know, one of those phones like that. I remember the phone rang. We got out of bed. My dad ran to the phone, picked it up. It was the doctor. And he said, Mr. Blunt, Rick, your son died last night. And I remember watching my father and my mother lose their son. I remember them, yeah, there was a grief and a sorrow, but right there, their response in that kitchen was they began to praise the Lord. Not that my brother had died, but in the midst of the situation, they began to rejoice in the Lord. Couldn't rejoice from the circumstance, but in the circumstance, in the Lord, they rejoiced. And you know what that did? That impacted me. Because it wasn't just church stuff. They were living the real deal. Folks, you and I have been commanded to do it, and God wouldn't command us to do it if we were unable to do it through him. Amen? Well, Pastor, we get it. The joy of the Lord, it brings us strength. The joy of the Lord is supernatural. We get it. We're supposed to do it every day. And Pastor, I'm struggling at it, but today I'm going to do better, because tomorrow morning, aren't you glad I talked for you? Pastor, tomorrow morning, I'm going to do what you said, bless God, and I am going to say, I'm strong in faith and full of joy. See, folks, if you can't repeat anything I say to anyone next week, you didn't get anything I said. All you educators know what I'm talking about. If you walk out of here and somebody says to you Wednesday, what did your pastor say last weekend? Well, I really don't know. Then see, you didn't get anything. But if you can at least quote one or two things, you got something. Amen? And it's making a difference in your life. So, Pastor, how do we tap into this joy? Look at Proverbs 15, verse 15. Would you go there in your Bible? Proverbs 15, verse 15. Am I helping anybody today? Seven of you, that's worth coming out today. Praise the Lord. Proverbs 15, 15. Look what the Bible says. All the days, how many of the days? All the days of the depressed, the discouraged, the cynical, the sarcastic, the grieving, and the sorrowful. Now, folks, I'm a pastor. I've done hundreds of funerals. There's a grieving process. There needs to be. You know, there needs to be that time of sorrow. But did you know there's a godly grief? Did you know there's a godly sorrow? Or there's an earthly grief and an earthly sorrow? If I'm in sorrow over someone passing away 6 months ago and I'm still in it today, something's wrong. If I'm in sorrow today with a loved one, a friend passed away 3 years ago, and I'm still in grief and sorrow, that's not godly. That's ungodly. That'll destroy your life. But there is a godly sorrow, and there is a godly grief, and it's healthy. But there's an ungodly sorrow and an ungodly grief that will kill you. And look what the Bible says, all the days of those who are depressed. Now, we all face depression. We all get discouraged. The key is we don't stay there. Can I have a yes at the house of God? We all go through stuff. You are going through stuff today. God knows what you are struggling with today. And the answer is the joy of the Lord. Joy is a defense. It's not a luxury. Did you know that? The joy of the Lord is a defense, not a luxury. Did you know the Bible says if the devil steals your joy, he gets your health, your kids, and your money? Did you know that? The Bible says if the devil steals your joy, then it opens up the door to your job, your career, your health, your kids, and your money. If he steals your joy, he steals your goods. That's why the world is working against you and everything you stand for in God to get you to give up, get discouraged, be cynical, sarcastic, angry, mad, and grieving. That's not God's will for us. Notice that the person who lives every day of their life, they're down and they stay down. Know anybody like that? Don't point at them. They're not here today. They didn't slide in with us. They stayed home at bedside assembly. Some of you got that. Some of you didn't. But notice all the days of people who are negative, cynical, sarcastic, depressed, all their days are made evil. How are they made evil? By their anxious thoughts and their forebodings. Forebodings means worry. Notice that worry and anxious thoughts creates my emotions. Worry, my thoughts are connected to my emotions. We talked about this in our series on harnessing your emotions. Do you see then that if my days are terrible because of what I'm thinking, then I can turn my days around, make them good by what I'm thinking. Does that make sense to you? If all my days are evil because of the wrong kind of thoughts and the wrong kind of believing, then if I'll start believing right, start thinking right, then I'll have good days. So it gives you the contrast. You be down and you stay down, you're going to bring everybody around you down. And you're going to miss your destiny, your promotion, your miracles, an abundant life. But that's not for you and me. We're B, the last half of this verse. But those at Church on the Rock, they have a glad heart. I'm looking at people who have a glad heart, not a sad heart. Now, we all go through stuff because it said those who have a glad heart, you have a continual buffet regardless of your circumstances. Wouldn't you like to live there? Wouldn't you like to be up more than you're down? Wouldn't you like to be happy more than you're depressed? Wouldn't you like your witness to be solid and stable and consistent of people looking at you and your witness of the joy of the Lord is blowing them away? Because they're wondering, how can you get through this? How can you get over this? How can you rise above it? And what an opportune time to share your faith that your joy comes from the Lord. And the joy of the Lord gives you strength to overcome. And that joy, wow, we can walk in it every day. But you and I, it's intentional. It's a choice. And you're not to be half full. You're to be full of the joy of the Lord. Well, Pastor, you told us what it is. And you told us what it does. Now, tell us how to tap into it. We'll come Wednesday night. You think I'm kidding? I'm out of time. Y'all come Wednesday night. I know I'd get tarred and feathered if I did that. Okay. Let me give it to you real quick. This is so rich. You ready? Habakkuk chapter 3. Habakkuk chapter 3. Verses 16 through 19, there are three keys. In the book of Habakkuk, the prophet Habakkuk, what's going on is there's a, in the nation, there's a financial recession. There's economic disaster. The morals are crumbling. Everything around their finances, religion, society, everything is crumbling and falling apart. And Habakkuk is depressed and he's lost his joy. He's lost his strength. He wants to give up. He said, it's not worth it showing up every Sunday morning. And he's depressed and he's discouraged. And God gives him the antidote and what to do. And look what he says. When I heard, my belly trembled. This is Habakkuk now. When I heard, my belly trembled. My lips quivered at the voice. Rottenness entered into my bones. I trembled in myself. So number one, notice he's looking within. He's looking within and he's seeing that his life is falling apart. He's looking within, faced with this crisis. He's looking within and he's saying, wow, everything inside me, joy, it's depressed and it's, I'm scared, I'm afraid, I'm mad, I'm angry. I'm in grief, I'm in sorrow. All those emotions, everything is falling apart in my life. He said, I've been this prophet, I've shared the word, and it looks to me like it's not working. I just will give up. He said, I looked within. I looked within that I might rest in the day of trouble. When he cometh up unto the people, he will invade them with his troops. Verse 17. Although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall be fruit in the vines, the labor of the olive shall fail, and the fields shall yield no fruit, and the flocks shall be cut off, and there's no herd in the stalls. Pastor, what does that mean? There's no food in the cupboards. There's no food in the cupboards, and there's no money in the checking account. And all the money in reserve is gone. Everything, all reserve, all resources, it's empty. He said, in the natural, everything I had, I've lost. In the natural, everything that I accumulated, everything that I gathered is gone. In the natural, I looked within and everything is falling apart. Number two, he said, I looked around and everything is falling to pieces. I looked within and everything is falling apart. I looked around and everything is falling in pieces. And then number three, next verse. Yet I will, this is what I want you and I to do. Yet I will what? Rejoice. It's a choice. Aren't you sure he didn't feel like doing it? The circumstances didn't attribute to it, contribute to it. The circumstances weren't the source. He wasn't the source. He'd emptied himself and he'd emptied those around him. Where could he go? He said, in the midst of this, I choose to rejoice. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will what? Joy. I will joy in the God of my salvation. Number three, he looks up. That's the key. You see, great leaders know the power of focus. Great leaders know you can't focus on your dream and focus on your circumstances and arrive in your dream. Great leaders know you cannot focus on your dream and focus on others at the same time. They'll distract you and rain on your parade. So notice, what is he doing? Number one, he looked within, he's falling apart. Number two, he looked around, everything's falling to pieces. Number three, what did he do? He looked up to God as his source. And what did he do? He rejoiced. He rejoiced. Next verse, look at verse 19. The Lord God is my what? What does joy produce? What did he just do? Rejoiced in the Lord. Now his circumstances hasn't changed. Nothing on the inside of him has changed. Nothing on the outside of him has changed. But now he's made a change with his choice. He's not going to be in the mully grubs. He's not going to join the crowd. He's not going to blend in. He's not going to listen to the news. He's listening to the good news. It's bringing great joy. He's rejoicing in the Lord. He looked within. Yuck. He looked without. Ugh. He looked up. And he rejoiced in the Lord. What followed? Strength. The joy of the Lord is your strength. And it says here, and yet the Lord God is my strength, and he will make my feet like hinds' feet, and he'll make me to what? Walk on the high places. High places means victory. Victory. You and I want to be up in a down world. We want to be the head and not the tail. We want to be above and not beneath. We don't want to be under the weather, under the circumstances. We want to be above it. Can we have a praise break? Come on, give the Lord a good praise. As the team comes out, so now he rejoiced. He looked within. He looked around. He looked up. Church, I challenge you. Whatever you are going through today, Look up. Change your look. Change what you're looking at. And look to the Lord. And what's going to be the result? Strength to overcome. Strength to get through. Strength to come out. Strength to achieve your destiny. So he says, the Lord God's my strength. He'll make my feet like hinds feet. He'll make me to walk upon the high places to the chief singer on the string instruments. Now, can I give you one more thing? I've taught 30 minutes. Can I have just one more minute? How many give me one more minute? Raise your hand if you want. 1, 2, 3 minutes, 4 minutes, 5 minutes, 6 minutes, 7 minutes. You don't like that. Okay. This is worth coming to church. I didn't get this out of a book. I didn't get this from another preacher. And there's nothing wrong with that. Nothing new under the sun. But here's what the Lord gave me as a formula as I looked at my own life. I'll be 63 in 2 weeks. I gave my heart to Christ when I was 11. And here's what I've used in my own life. 30-some years in the ministry, 33 years in this place, weekend after weekend. How did you do it, Pastor? To God be the glory. But let me tell you what God gave me that what worked for me. It's three-dimensional. It's past, present, and future. Say past, present, and future. Here's what's got me to stay here for 33 years. Here's what's kept me in the vision and the race and the dream and up in a down world. And here's what's keeping me to serve the Lord all the days of my life. Here's the key to keep the joy of the Lord. Number one, if you're a note taker, they all start with G, gratefulness. I'm grateful over my past. Folks, growing up as a teenager, I was a bad man. I really was. And I hung out with bad people. And I'm not proud of that. Most of my inner circle are dead today or in prison. But for the grace of God, where would I be? I look back on my life and I see that God saved me at age 11 and he helped me going through those years where there was no foundation. There was no foundation. There was really the church we went to. It was a great church, but the whole youth group, there were 7 kids. And how many of you know that's not enough to keep your kid in church? 7 kids. And so I'm grateful as I look back over my past and God calling me and God protecting me. And I should have been dead over many, many times. How about you? You know, I think about, you know, meeting Kim and getting married and these 43 years and our kids and our grandkids and you, this church and the ministry. I'm so grateful. I'm so grateful to be your pastor. I'm so grateful for my family. I'm so grateful that I'm still here. I'm so grateful. And that gives me the joy of the Lord. Present tense, number two, godly wisdom. Godly wisdom. Godly wisdom. If you want to reference Proverbs 3, verse 13, it says, happy are those who find God's wisdom. In their right hand is long life. In their left hand is riches and favor. You know what godly wisdom is? God's perspective. God's perspective. So you know what's given me the joy of the Lord all these years? Is gratefulness over my past. Thank you, Lord, that you would call me, you would use me, that we could pastor this great church, you people, that we could be in one city. You know, most churches, pastors say a couple of years they're gone, to be in one city for 33 years. What a blessing. And then in the present, God, I don't understand what's going on today. I mean, you know, this weekend, this is our biggest weekend of the year. They've been working on this for 3 months. The budget is out of the roof. And yet we had an ice storm. Didn't have any last service last night. Service has been affected by attendance, of course, by the weather. What do you do? God, I don't understand. But I know you always got bigger than today. And I know, God, in your life, you may not understand what's going on, but God's got bigger for you than today. And he works all things together for your good. That's godly perspective, seeing things. So that helps me with dealing with daily life to keep the joy of the Lord. Am I perfect at it? No. Am I working at it? Yes, amen. And the third component is God's dream. Past, present, future. This is what helps me with the joy of the Lord, how I tap into it. We'll do part two Wednesday night. Side commercial, by the way, we are going to have church, all three services like normal next weekend. It's Christmas, Pastor. Yeah, shouldn't we be in church celebrating the Lord's birth? Bring your family, bring your friends. You know, we're going to have a great service. Christmas Eve, 5 o'clock. Christmas Day, 9 and 11. But what's the future? God's dream. Knowing that God has a dream for you. Jesus went to the cross for the joy that was set before him. What is that joy? The church. When you and I have a dream, Wow, we'll endure anything because we know that God's taking us to something bigger than today. That'll cause you to rejoice.